Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I'm Joy Dooling, and you are listening to the Joy of Membership podcast. This podcast is for membership leaders. So we talk about strategies for attracting, engaging, and retaining members. But that's not entirely the focus of the show, because let's be honest here, there is no shortage of advice out there on best practices in membership. What we need to talk about is how to actually make those things possible in the real world, how to be absolutely sure that growth practices are going to stick, how to make those things easier, more consistent, and even automatic in some cases. Sound good? Then stick around because we're about to jump into it. Hey there, I see you, membership leader. I see how hard you're working over there. I see how you're doing your best to be helpful to your people and for your organization. And sometimes that feels very, very hard to do. What do members want from us? How can we help in ways that don't burn us out or exceed the resources that we have available? In what ways can we make the biggest difference? In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of people and organizations who asked one simple question: how can we be helpful? I'm your host, Joy Dooling, and my business, The Joy of Membership, is all about giving membership-based organizations the structure and supports you need to deliver your best work to members every single day. I'm here to help you because I know that you are here to help them. Let's do that together. Hey there, Joy Dooling here, and I'm back with another organization that is going to share their unique story of being helpful and creating value for members. One of my personal goals as I created this podcast format was to bring forward stories of value being created by organizations that cover a diverse array of topics, membership sizes, geographic location, and length of service. So as part of this podcast, you'll hear from organizations that have been working toward their mission for decades, but you'll also hear from some that are very new. And I think there is value to be gained from hearing from these different perspectives. So the situation today is that you are hearing from a newer organization. The GU 272 Descendants Association, while new, is not new to the work. Their mission and the impact of what they're trying to do actually spans generations. So join me for this conversation with Rochelle Sanders Prater. She is the association's Vice President of Membership. Hey, Rochelle, welcome to the program. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you, Joy. I'm so glad to be here.
So for people who are not familiar with your organization, tell them who you are and who you help.
Okay. So our organization is, I personally am a GU 272 descendant. I am the vice president and membership of the GU 272 Descendants Association. I also chair the membership committee. So the GU 272 Descendants Association is a 501c7 nonprofit organization established in 2016 and chartered in 2018. We exist to support the goals, objectives, and aspirations of all descendants of the 272 enslaved people who were sold by the Jesuits of Georgetown University in 1838. And we further represent the same interests of all other descendants of people enslaved before and after that 1838 sale by the Jesuits of the Maryland province of the Society of Jesus. We exist to reunite the families, of course, we descendants, while we're honoring our ancestors.
So tell me, what made you want to help in this situation? So what you've described is that there were at least 272 enslaved persons who were sold generations ago. What made you want to help in this situation and kind of bring together the descendants?
So it was, for me personally, a personal divine intervention. I had, from a little small town in Louisiana called Maringouin, and I had lost a lot of my family members. And so when this news came to me, in the spring of 2016, I was all for gathering us together. So being, an African American in this country and finding out that, yes, you have family all over the creation, was simply a feeling of like I had won the lottery, and I wanted that feeling and that security, if you will, to be felt by all that I could possibly impact.
I've noticed when I've been in meetings with people from your organization, you refer to each other as cousins. You'll greet each other, hey, cousin. And so I assume that's just from your extended relationship with everybody. Is that right?
That is correct. And I might add that, thank you for noticing that, because everybody, especially our president, Sherilyn, actually, I had never met her until this happened. So,
I noticed it. Yeah, it definitely felt like part of your organizational culture.
Oh, yes, for sure.
So I know your organization is very new, but can you tell us what, if any, impact you've started seeing from your work? And I loved that personal story that you told about, you know, how is it kind of a divine intervention for you and giving you this, you know, connection personally. Have you seen other like similar impacts, or what's your perspective on what's been happening?
I actually have, and I will say that, what has occurred is that we have been able to successfully connect back to Maryland, right? So, on both sides, they did not know that they had relatives in Louisiana. I certainly did not know I had relatives in Maryland. Actually, one of the enslaved, ancestors was my great grandfather. His name was Jackson Hawkins. Jackson was only 3 years old back in 1838. My family never spoke of slavery. I know even for me, it's difficult for people to understand. And for me, that has triggered, of course, some emotion, inside of my psyche. Because I can imagine it was so painful and so shameful. People often say, wow, your great grandfather was a, you know, was an enslaved and nobody ever talked about it. Well, it is the heritage of a Black person in America. Nobody, you know, when we saw, I think of what occurred, like, I remember watching Roots with my family, right? My mom and my dad, nobody uttered, and that was my dad's grandfather, right?
Wow.
Nobody in my family said, oh yeah, I remember Grandpa Jackson saying, nobody said that, ever. No, he didn't say my grandmother told, you know, his mother said anything. And so it speaks to a time in history that we've gone through in this country. We know that, I think, the main thing that I try to garner in my relationship with all people of any heritage is one of empathy, right? One that understands that, you know, watching a TV show like Roots back in the day, all my family have now transitioned, so I can't, you know, that was the tear that fell from my eye in 2016. We were so close to having somebody who was still alive that could probably have shed some light on this stuff. But Dad's gone. Mom's gone. All of Dad's brothers gone. There is no one. So, you know, it was a little painful, but I forged ahead. That's why, that's my motivation. I put in a whole lot of time and effort because I know that this is a calling. And I appreciate you, Joy, giving me this opportunity to share with your listeners that are doing the important work in the nonprofits to, because nonprofits are basically there to help people. I know that. That's been my life work. It's been under a nonprofit. So I know that there are people out there, your audience are nonprofits. And I personally want to just thank them because, when it comes to people of color, many times, that's why nonprofits exist. So I do want to give a shout out to all the nonprofits as well.
Well, thank you. I know people will appreciate hearing that. What do you think other organizations can learn from your experience so far with setting up this association?
So I think when setting up this association, especially one like this, I think purpose is everything. I know nonprofits go through with the mission statement and the purpose statement and so forth. I think that the nonprofits, like with our association, we have to remind each other and point back to why we exist, right? So sometimes we have to be very careful with nonprofits, treating them like, if you will, a corporate business. And what I mean by that is if we are choosing to get off the track and not live up to our mission or our objectives, that's where we go awry and we're not doing right. We're not being true to why we exist.
I love that focus on purpose. I love that because I do think that the value that is created for members and the impact that's created in the world is very much driven from, you know, maintaining that sense of purpose and designing what you do around that sense of purpose. That's beautiful, Rochelle.
Thank you so much.
So where can people learn more about the work of your organization and connect with you if they want to help?
Okay, so people can reach us on our website. Our website is gu272.net. Again, gu272.net. And there we have our contact information, all of our social media platform links to that are there, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. We welcome partnerships if you would like to partner with us as a partner or as a member. We have non-descendant memberships as well as there are opportunities to donate, make tax deductible donations as well. We welcome anybody, you know, feedback. If you have young people or volunteer, we are a nonprofit, a skeleton crew right now. We welcome anybody who would want to join us in this venture.
Just the history that is kind of present on your website is so instructional to look through and kind of see the stories and read the names. So I know I found it to be just really eye-opening. So I think if people have the opportunity, they should take a stop by your website and look at least at the history and the purpose that you've spoken to so beautifully on this interview. So thank you so much, Rochelle, for being here and for sharing your story and your personal connection to this organization. Really appreciate it.
You're so very welcome, Joy. I appreciate you. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Hey there, you made it all the way to the end. Bravo to you. I'm back in just one last time to remind you that there's a free one-page PDF available over at the website that shows you more than 20 ways that technology could be supporting your efforts to attract, engage, and retain more members. It's actually broken down into the stages of the member journey, so you'll know exactly where each piece fits. And everything that's on that one pager can actually be automatically done for you with software that costs less than $1,000 per year. So if you haven't already grabbed it, you can get your copy at joyofmembership.com/tech. joyofmembership.com/tech, TECH. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.